Love or Leave It is brought to you by Mint Mobile. I don't know about you, but I like keeping my money where I can see it. Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers also seem to like keeping your money too. If you're fed up with crazy high wireless bills, bogus fees, and free perks that actually cost more in the long run, then switch to Mint Mobile. Stop overpaying for wireless just because that's how it's always been. Mint exists purely to fix that. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Bring your own phone and number, activate with eSIM in minutes, and start saving immediately. No long-term contracts, no hassle. Ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. You could be saving money with Mint Mobile, and you're not stupid. Do it, you know? If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/love it. That's mintmobile.com/love it. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. That was a tongue twister. Took me 3 times. Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood and Netflix is a joke. We've got a great show for you tonight. But first, let's get into it. What a week. Senate Republicans unveiled legislation to fund immigration and border control, a $72 billion package that they plan to pass via reconciliation. It sounds like a lot, but keep in mind about half of the money for ICE officers ends up going out the door as alimony payments. But then we learned that Republicans snuck into this bill $1 billion in taxpayer money to pay for President Trump's ballroom, which isn't too bad. It costs like half that much just to rent a ballroom for a wedding. Or maybe I'm getting screwed. Fuck! We all remember that Trump claimed the ballroom would be built at no cost to the public. Here's a montage from CNN.
We did this no charge to the taxpayer whatsoever.
I'm paying for it. I'm paying for it. The country is not.
We're donating a $400 million ballroom.
Myself and donors are giving them free of charge for nothing.
It's being paid for 100% by me and some friends of mine, donors.
But now we're on the hook for $1 billion. To quote myself at a big group dinner, I didn't even order any drinks. The bill says the money is for the purpose of security relating to the East Wing modernization project, including above ground and below ground security features, which comprises the entire universe. So the ballroom is free, but making it safe to use the ballroom costs $1 billion. Six Flags could try this. Come on down to Six Flags. The rides are free. The harnesses, oh, that's going to be extra, you dumb sluts. And so the billionaire backers who funded the ballroom get all the benefits of having their name on the project, while we, the taxpayers, end up paying for most of it. And this is unacceptable. What do they think this is? Every football stadium? It does create a political opportunity for Democrats to force a vote on this proposal when this bill comes to the Senate floor, said Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii, just flagging that now everyone gets an up or down vote on the ballroom. Added Schatz confusingly, Democrats are united in saying aloha to the ballroom, and Republicans will pay dearly in November if they say aloha to the ballroom. You get it. All right, here's Trump. Here is Trump making an amazing case for his event space on Wednesday.
Being a builder and having built many ballrooms and many other things, I'm good at ballrooms. I usually have glass that's about 1/4 inch thick. This is about 6 inches thick. This can repel a lot of different weapons.
Hey man, stop bragging about how impenetrable your ballroom will be. It's starting to sound like a dare. It's like he's building Chekhov's ballroom. I want you all to know something. First of all, there were 3 jokes in there that were real, real cerebral type jokes, okay? And you stuck with me, but I think the rest are gonna be very goofy, not gonna require a lot of the brain. You're gonna be okay for the ride. Thank you for hanging on. I didn't realize we had front loaded it with so much thinking. Now, if this weren't enough to sell you on the White House becoming a bulletproof entertainment complex for our vulgar, corrupt, juvedermed aristocracy, Trump also showed off plans for the UFC fight during America's 250th birthday this summer.
Do okay with it?
Well, the media's gonna go crazy.
Not bad, right?
It's a pretty realistic mock-up. If you zoom in on the audience watching the fight, you can actually see Lindsey Graham coming. Promises made, promises kept. While Trump is busy with party planning, the global economic crisis he created in the Strait of Hormuz continues. In the brief window between Trump announcing Project Freedom and Trump ending Project Freedom, his plan to guide ships through the Strait of Hormuz remotely, like a friend who gets out of the U-Haul to help you parallel park, but if you tap the bumper of the car behind you, the U-Haul blows up live on Al Jazeera. Secretary of State Marco Rubio briefed the press.
Our preference is for these straits to be opened to the way they're supposed to be open, back to the way it was. Anyone can use it, no mines in the water, nobody paying tolls. That's what we have to get back to, and that's the goal here.
We have to get back to the way things were, said Marco, his feet swimming in his oversized Florsheim shoes. We have to go back. I want to go back. Imagine going back. The bombs rise up from the earth and return to their planes, and our ships return to our harbors, and our votes return to our hands, and I return to that debate stage in 2016. But now I'm ready. I'll be ready this time. Mom, I'll be ready, and you're still alive, and I won't make a dick joke. You'll be proud after all the toilets you scrubbed at that casino, and I won't become this clown in giant shoes dancing for the king's pleasure on the ruins of a once great kingdom, and I'm hearing that the president has suspended Project Freedom. This briefing is over. Thank you so much for your time. Rubio did have strong words for the leaders of Iran.
I mean, the top people in that government are, to say the least, they're insane in the brain. They are facing real catastrophic destruction to their economy. They should check themselves before they wreck themselves in the direction that they're going.
Ice Cube must be rolling over in his tray. On Wednesday, administration officials reported that the United States and Iran were closing in on a one-page agreement to end the war. Is it okay if it's one-page double-sided? Said an exhausted aide to J.D. Vance asking Claude for the least aggressive Farsi translation of, they have to say they're fucking losers. According to Axios, the 14-point memo would require Iran to commit to a moratorium on nuclear enrichment and for America to lift sanctions in addition to releasing billions of seized Iranian funds. You might think this sounds a lot like the JCPOA, the Obama-era nuclear deal that Trump ripped up because he said it was the worst deal ever made. But that would be wrong. This one was done by white president. Speaking of self-destructive sexual abusers, on Wednesday, a federal judge unsealed Jeffrey Epstein's purported suicide note from his first attempt, which was found by his former cellmate, and immediately optioned by Ryan Murphy. That guy is quick. The note, scrawled in terrible handwriting, reads, "They investigated me for months, found nothing. What you want me to do? Bust out crying? No fun, not worth it." The note continues, "P.S., hold that thought. I have a visitor. Why, hello, former President Bill Clinton. I'm surprised to see you here. Wait, what are you doing? Ow, my neck. Ow, ow, ow. You're murdering me." Speaking of failed cover-ups, on Wednesday, MS Now, reported that the FBI launched an investigation into the leaks that led to the Atlantic story about FBI Director Kash Patel's drinking and absences. This means we are now getting leaks about investigations into the leaks. And then, on Thursday, MS Now followed up with more reporting that over 24 members of Patel's security detail are being polygraphed to find out who is responsible for the leaks, which was promptly leaked. Which means Patel has to launch yet another investigation to find out who leaked that he was investigating, who leaked that he was investigating, who leaked. But leak investigations are like beers. Just one more and you'll feel better, probably. Now, when Patel sued The Atlantic for defamation, he accused the magazine of publishing fabricated allegations. So were those allegations fabricated, or were they leaked by someone with inside knowledge who now must be prosecuted? It's like the bartenders at the Poodle Room say when Cash Patel orders a neat bourbon on the rocks. You can't have it both ways, you fucking moron. Speaking of bourbon, the same journalist at The Atlantic came out with a new report on Wednesday about Cash Patel traveling with personalized bottles of bourbon that he gives out to both FBI staff and civilians he meets while on official business. People are acting like this is unusual at the FBI, but J. Edgar Hoover famously wanted MLK to take a bullet. Here's a photo of one of Cash's bottles obtained by The Atlantic. As you can see, it's printed with the FBI shield. Cash Patel's name is also stamped in two different places, so both of Cash's eyes could see it at the same time. Speaking of federal officials at the top of their game, for the first time, the FDA approved a fruit flavor of vape after a decade of strictly controlling flavored e-cigarette use. Said the target audience for the vape, "Stop embarrassing me. Just let me out of the car here. I can walk. It's fine." This after Kennedy withdrew a proposed FDA ban on tanning beds for minors, saying in a statement, quote, "Despite claims by left-wing scientists, slow roasting is the best method for retaining nutrients in the meat." Kennedy is also pushing to remove fluoride from our drinking water, and on Tuesday, he unveiled a new MAHA campaign aimed at, quote, "deprescribing for psychiatric medication, common treatments for ADHD, and even antidepressants." It's quite a future this administration is envisioning for our children. Tan, ripping on an e-cig, teeth rotting out of their heads, asking the AI teacher to go to the bathroom to weep uncontrollably while applying medicinal herbs to their open rubella rashes. Still better than being on their phones all the time. Meanwhile, Zoloft and Adderall are basically holding this country together. Oh, the air traffic control system runs on floppy disks? You know what keeps the planes in the air? Adderall. The median home price has doubled since the financial crisis. You know what keeps people getting out of bed and going to work? It's Zoloft. Your company announces that it has no choice but to downsize given how quickly AI tools has increased productivity across the organization? Adderall and Zoloft. In dead vulture news, a dozen dead vultures were found dumped in Tennessee's Great Smoky Mountain National Park last month. When reached for comment, RFK Jr. said, "Why are you asking me to comment? I didn't say anything, and my mouth is watering from something else." And finally, in other animal news, an animated adaptation of George Orwell's Animal Farm, directed by Andy Serkis, hit theaters this week. And I would like to show you a moment from the trailer.
Squealer! I parked the car!
Let's have no one do that again!
Animal Farm, a cautionary tale.
Seems like a joke, right? Like, it seems like that can't be a real... I couldn't believe this was a real movie. I almost didn't want to talk about it. The movie came and went. It kind of bombed, which makes sense. I don't want to kick a dead Marxist horse, but you remember how the story ends, with the pigs seizing control of the farm and becoming indistinguishable from the humans, among the most famous endings in all of literature. This animated version of Animal Farm has a happy ending. And I simply could not move on from learning that they put a happy ending on George Orwell, noted optimist, George Orwell's Animal Farm. In this animated film, Napoleon the Pig, voiced by, of course, Seth Rogen, drowns. Sorry, this is a spoiler alert for Andy Serkis's animated Animal Farm. So Napoleon drowns, and then all the animals come together and say, "You know what is always right? Helping people." It is even worse than that adaptation of 1984 where Wonder Woman kills Big Brother. Sincerely, I think it might be better for children to see Seven. A movie that ends with a very important message of its own: Kevin Spacey should die. What's in the box? I'll tell you what's in the box: artistic integrity. All right, we have got a great show for you tonight. We will be right back with Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Helix.
Oh, we love Helix.
We love Helix. Sleep, boy, it's so important. I could not sleep last night, and it isn't because of my mattress. I just could not sleep, and I'm exhausted today. And it's just a reminder of how important sleep is. And I have, and you know, the Helix mattress is the f***ing best. And it's so it must
I bet
be,
you would have slept even less if you didn't have.
I know. I think this one was because of my brain.
Yeah, that was mine too. Brain and my 2-year-old.
But the one thing I never have to worry about is being uncomfortable because I have the best mattress from Helix. Helix makes buying a mattress easy. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and it will match you with a perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and sleep needs. Get free shipping and seamless delivery. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. So you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. Plus, Helix offers a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. It's been such an upgrade, my Helix mattress, from my old mattress. I can't even remember what it was like to sleep on that, but it was basically like a...
It's like sleeping on the floor, right?
Yeah, a bag stuffed with hay, which was in its time an innovation, you know? But everybody should get them. They're great. Go, you take the quiz, you get a mattress that's perfect for you. Mine is the Dawn Lux. I really genuinely like it. HelixSleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. That's HelixSleep.com/loveit for 27% off site-wide. This offer is exclusive to my listeners. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. HelixSleep.com/loveit. Love it or leave it, brought to you by ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. You know what? Screw the copy, John. We were just in D.C. And we had a big night out. And we had a party, Crooked Media had a little party. And the second I got there before, you know,
boom,
ZBiotics down the hatch. And then, you know, I had a few drinks throughout the night, stayed out pretty late. I felt great the next day.
The combination of ZBiotics and the grinder party running out of alcohol when we got there saved me.
And it was like, who do you got to blow to get a drink around here? A joke I've used already. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. From the crack of the bat at the stadium to the start of wedding season and the roar of engines in Indy, May is packed with back-to-back reasons to be out and about. Don't let a rough morning keep you on the sidelines. Drink pre-alcohol to stay ahead of it and make the most of every Saturday this month. Go to ZBiotics.com/loveit to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use Love It at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/loveit and use code Love It at checkout for 15% off. And we're back. We have a fantastic show for you tonight. Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney will be out in a second. But first, we recently announced the return of CrookedCon on November 5th through 7th in Washington, D.C. We'll reflect on the lessons of 2026, hopefully positive, potentially negative, and debate the best ways to turn those lessons into winning campaigns in the elections to come. There will be more panels, bigger stages, candidate forums, live shows, interviews, organizing events, and tense but cathartic moments between prominent media figures who have yelled at each other on the internet. And now we want to share the dates when tickets will go on sale, the pre-sale for Friends of the Pod only. How many people here are members of the Friends of the Pod community? Thank you. Great. We'll start on Tuesday, May 12th. Friends of the Pod also get a subscriber-only discount in addition to other perks at CrookedCon, secret perks to be announced and potentially to be figured out. General sale will start on Tuesday, May 19th. So go to CrookedCon.com for more details, including how to become a Friend of the Pod subscriber. Also, in case you missed it, our show has moved to a brand new studio to produce more episodes, to get those episodes into the world faster. Check out our cool new studio space on YouTube every Wednesday and Friday. And if you're in the LA area, check us out live. These people are having a good time. Twice a week, upcoming guests include music icon Melissa Etheridge, Drag Race alum Bosco, Outlander star Sam Heughan, Golden Globe winner Rachel Bloom, and many, many more. Grab tickets and see upcoming dates at crooked.com/events. All right. Please welcome to the stage, from the bright lights of late night to the dark crevasse of podcasting, it's Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Thanks for being here. Oh, we're hugging.
This is amazing.
Wow. This is...
Wow, look at you guys. Amazing.
Come on.
Give it up for yourselves.
I think I know them.
No, you don't. Okay. It's okay.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
So good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Are you kidding me? This
is. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding
me? Kidding?
Are you joking? We're so happy to be here.
And this is for Netflix as a joke.
As part of it.
It turns out
you just can buy these. You can just buy these and you can just do it.
You can buy these little boxes.
You buy these little boxes, then you're part of it. That's the beauty of it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, some boxes.
Christmas idea. Yeah.
Yes.
So you have been friends since college.
Yeah, since September of 2003.
2003. Yes. Wow. Yeah. Sort of the Bush era. Shock and awe.
Exactly.
Freedom fries.
Yeah. They were tasty.
What was the... What was the banner he put up? What
is Mission Accomplished.
Mission Accomplished. Yes, yeah, we went to college. Mission Accomplished.
Now, 20 years later, are you text friends or call friends?
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I guess we're text friends.
You will call.
I will call.
Yeah.
Because I'll have to, like, talk through something. I'll, like, write a text, and I'll be like, that doesn't sound right. And I'll have to, like, talk through something, you know? And yeah. Kyle will always answer.
Always answer.
Yeah, but you call me sometimes too.
No, yeah, I do.
Sometimes you get on the old horn and you're like, I gotta talk
off.
You through something.
With a lot of
get on the blower.
Is there a way?
No, it's true. It's it is nice to get on the phone every once in a while.
Catch up with my old friend. Yeah, you know, it's nice.
So you have a podcast.
Yes.
Called What's Our Podcast?
Yeah.
Where you invite friends on to tell you what your podcast should be about. And did you ever crack it?
No.
Ever?
No, because we're like eternally searching. You know what I mean?
That's part of it. Maybe that's in a sense, I don't want to overstep.
Yeah.
Is that what the show's about? Is the show about the searching?
I think it's about exploring, discovering. Yeah. The constant.
Yeah.
Once you arrive, it's over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. That's like spiritual, philosophical talk.
It is. It's strange because we worked together on Saturday Night Live for eight years. We overlapped.
That's right.
And prior to that, we had known each other several years.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is the most like intimate amount of time we've ever spent with each other, like going into the studio and talking to each other. I like it.
I love it. No, it's great. And we're both fathers now, and we're not in that stressful, intense, competitive environment of SNL. And so we're just like, it's more, we're able to just kind of like, I don't know, hang out. Like, we're just like going through a similar phase of our life together again. And we've been through all of that. And we're able to kind of like, we're just more mature and adult and able to, I don't know, be there for each other a little bit.
Yeah,
and you said a couple months ago, we're in our golden era.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
So speaking of SNL, we were talking about this before the show, and I don't know that I think I've told this story. I auditioned for SNL, and it was the same year you guys did.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. I'd left the White House, and I was writing a show in LA that would soon be on for one perfect season, and somehow I end up meeting Lorne Michaels at where he always has dinner at the hotel he has dinner at in Los Angeles.
That's where I met him.
Yeah, at the Polo Lounge.
Polo Lounge.
And at the end of it, and I'd done like a bit of stand up, whatever, but I'd like done a lot of comedy writing and joke writing. And he said, "Oh, if you're in New York next week, you should come by and audition." And I was like, "What?" Wow. And so I got out of the meeting and I emailed. I was like, "I think he asked me to come to New York to audition." And then they were like, "No, he didn't. You're stupid. That's stupid." But it happened, and then I did, and I did not do a great job.
You did audition.
I did audition. I went to New York, and I like spent the weekend like working on what I would do, and I like wrote it, and I like ran it like crazy for like 3 days.
And have you told people what you did?
No, that remains. I will say one thing I did. One of the characters was a carbohydrate.
Okay. That's abstract. That's
yeah,
cool.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, that's cool.
Charlie
the
carbohydrate.
Yeah, that's better than what I did. And
already, well, I labeled him Charlie.
Honestly,
Charlie's
found
funny.
It. You found it, but that's the skill. That's the skill I didn't have.
Yeah.
I didn't have it at the time.
Were you terrified?
Oh my God. It was I don't get really nervous anymore.
Yeah.
That was the most nervous I had ever been in my entire life. What an insane space that is.
Yes.
So when you did it, like you we might have been there literally at the same time.
Yeah, I think we were probably, I mean, because I met with Lawrence at the Polo Lounge a week before flying out.
Yeah.
So we were probably even at that hotel.
We were like on the stacked meetings.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is so wild.
Yeah.
And now look at us now. Podcast house.
Podcast house.
Yeah, it's, no, it was
the dream.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
I did it twice, and the first time I auditioned, I opened my audition with this character, like as myself, but like sort of an awkward version of me.
And how do you know the difference? Oh, sorry, I brought the roasting energy, and honestly, that you were being so open.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
You know that, and I'm
sorry. No. People fuck with me all the time.
No, it's okay. He likes it. He likes it.
But I opened my audition with as if I was hosting Saturday Night Live, and I said, "Well, it's so good to be here at 30 Rockers, in front of the Lonnie Mickers."
See, look
and
at
then
that.
It did, it got nothing.
Uh huh.
And then a year later, I was asked to audition again, and my reps were like, "The only note we got is don't do that thing again."
Don't
address Lorne Michaels.
We hated that.
Yeah. But it was real. Yeah, it was. I thought it was gonna crush.
Did you ever talk to him about that?
No. This actually, if you can make this go viral, it might get to him.
Oh yeah.
Now listen, that's why we do this. Here's the thing.
For me,
it's about going viral.
100%.
Yes.
Like
okay,
I
fine. Because I'm like, there are people who are like, they don't want to go viral.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's crazy.
That's for me. The action is the juice.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. This is
what
the juice.
Action.
That's what we say. The action is the juice.
That is amazing, John.
Yeah.
Hey, was it hard to maintain your comedic chemistry in an environment like SNL after establishing it as friends?
Hmm.
Great question.
Yeah. Well, like our on-screen or on-stage chemistry. Yeah, I guess so, because we couldn't really just be ourselves.
I think I'll take this.
Yeah. Thanks, bud.
I think the tough thing was that we got to be roommates. We got to be office mates.
Yes, and dressing room mates.
Yes.
Yes.
Huh. And yes.
That's cool.
And we did get to do stuff together occasionally, but we also had to look out for ourselves. You know what I mean? And so we were also having to develop material that was our own, and kind of had to simultaneously kind of figure out our own paths on the show. So that was probably the tough thing. And Beck is so great, and he has all these tools that I don't have. He's such a great impressionist, and he can do wonderful characters. He's an amazing actor. And so that was the tough part, is oh man, watching your friend be like, oh shit, he's crushing it right now. And kind of having to maneuver those mental mazes of we kind of we're sometimes one of us will have a win, sometimes the other, then always trying to make the time obviously to do what we've always been doing together.
And Kyle is thank you, that's very sweet. Kyle's an incredible character actor as well. He can play these characters that are so insane and weird and whatever, but he also creates these, he creates so much of the worlds that we end up making, these characters and these sketches and that we both contribute to, but he was so good at that. And so we both had different things that we were good at, and we kind of had to look out for ourselves, Kyle said sometimes.
But that's why I do think this is what we get to do now is nice. It's more lax and a little bit more let's go.
Yeah, like that.
But the Charlie the Carbohydrate guy, I actually think that does have... Yeah.
No, it's really good.
Something.
Yeah, I think we're really...
You should bring Charlie the Carbohydrate onto the show. You should get a costume.
Mm-hmm, yep, it's whatever a carbohydrate is, and we know what they are. It may be a piece of... You go big with it and do it, just a big piece of bread.
Yeah.
You know, that's a piece of cake.
Was it everybody hates me?
It was...
Everybody's talking about how they hate carbohydrates.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
It was kind of a taunting stalker of a woman trying to lose weight for her wedding.
Okay.
So it was, it was really good.
Yes, of course, yes.
It was really good.
We're
one of the biggest supporters of Charlie the Carbohydrate. We love Charlie the Carbohydrate.
Charlie Carbohydrate.
We love Charlie Carbohydrate. I love that guy.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Stamps.com. It's staggering that to this very day, many small business owners are still making post office runs or are stuck with expensive postage meter leases. Is 2026 enough? Mail and ship when you want. How do you want? However you want. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can send from your computer or phone 24/7. No long lines, no low supplies. Open anytime, print postage on demand, and get up to 90% off of carrier rates like FedEx, UPS, and USPS. Schedule carrier pickups right from your door and get carrier-compliant labels every time. No errors, no rejected mail, no wasted trips. It's perfect for your business. Send certified mail. Get document tracking to confirm delivery and analytics to make sure you know exactly what you've sent and spent. For almost 30 years, millions of customers have relied on stamps.com to make mailing and shipping faster and simple. We've used it here at Cricket.
Forever.
Media. It's really helped. You could save time and money. You don't have to leave your home, your office. You know, why wouldn't you do it? Right now, you can try stamps.com risk-free for 60 days. Go to stamps.com and use code LOVEIT to get 60 days risk-free. 60 days gives you plenty of time to see exactly how much time and money you're saving on every shipment. That's stamps.com code LOVEIT. That's stamps.com code LOVEIT. And we're back.
Yes.
Now, Beck and Kyle, you were actually roommates in college. You're now spiritual roommates in life. Hmm. So who better to answer our hardest or at least weirdest roommate questions in a segment we're calling Hello's Other People with Whom You Share a Bathroom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Just to note, these questions have been crowdsourced from the greater Love It or Leave It universe. Details have been changed to protect the disgusting. Are you ready?
Yes. You ready?
Here goes nothing. I don't know.
First question. My friend's roommate randomly bought 32 wall clocks from IKEA and put them on one wall of the living room. It looks cheap and stupid. Is this allowed?
No.
32.
Are they, is there like, I mean, maybe if there's like, if they're set to different time zones and there are cities underneath and there's some sort of meaning or there's some sort of game that they can play with it. But if it's just meaningless clocks, no.
A lot of ticking.
It's
a lot of ticking.
That feels like anxiety. Just like, oh, like people walking in there. It's just, no. What about you, Kyle?
Yeah. I guess it's technically allowed.
Right. Yeah. For sure. That's a good point.
But I think it's worthy to have a confrontation about like, why did you do this? Why, you know, we didn't talk about the clock thing.
I'm just going to say a physical confrontation.
Yeah, fight.
I think whoever this is, just go in there and just go to town, like start fighting.
Okay, I disagree. I think
that's what Kyle was trying to say. Is all I'm saying.
No, I do like to fight people.
It's hard to picture, honestly.
Yeah,
hard to picture you in a physical.
It's never. Oh, it's always pathetic. It's always really sad. But Kyle does love to fight people, and he gets his ass kicked.
No, yeah.
All right, next question.
You
don't need to lift me up. It's okay that my ass does get kicked. It will get kicked.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know what's going to happen when I leave the studio. I'm very nervous.
What do you think? You're going to get beat up?
I don't know who these people are.
Oh,
now that these guys know that they can kick your ass, of course they're going to kick your ass. There's half these people are like, oh shit, I can kick his ass.
No, okay, cool. No, I bet if you look at the Instagrams of these people, they are so
nice. No, these are sweet, that's cool. Smart, they're, kind people.
There's abolish the police all over this place. These people are not, these are education first word. This is a soft group, a sweet group. My roommate has started making kombucha, and I finally saw what a kombucha mother looks like.
Oof.
It looks like a uterus that's going to slide out of its jar, crawl over my face, and suffocate me in the night. Can I tell her to throw that shit away, or at least never let me see it?
Mm.
I think.
Do you know this? What the kombucha mother is?
Okay. I know a kombucha mother.
Yeah. I feel like you. This is something that you would. I feel like you would know about, and I wouldn't know much about.
I mean, I think you can't ask her to throw it away.
Right, it's just you know, I think like finding something gross is sort of your issue.
Yeah.
What is it?
The kombucha mother. All I know is it's like the yeast. It's like the sourdough starter. It's the thing you can use to make more kombucha because it has the whatever it is that ferments and changes, whatever is alive in there that makes kombucha.
Yeah.
Whatever kombucha is.
Yeah.
Is in the mother.
Okay.
It creates more kombucha. That's what. Yeah.
But infinite kombucha.
I would say if there was a uterus that they were keeping in the fridge that walked out of the fridge and like crawled around the like apartment or whatever,
right.
That would be now.
Well, that's more
that
like a scene from Beetlejuice, I feel like.
Yeah.
So no, Beetlejuice is the movie that came to mind for me too. I thought of Beetlejuice first. No other movie came first. It was first, a monster kind of vaguely psychosexual crawling around and attaching to your face. Beetlejuice.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that's
sure.
What I thought of. And I agree. Beetlejuice.
Problem Child.
Problem Child 2. Let's see. Oh, my roommate and I were in a stalemate about cleaning the shower. It has devolved into a swamp-like situation. One day, my elderly Polish landlady came by to check the smoke detector. She cleaned the shower. I felt horrible, but then my roommate thought I finally broke and cleaned. They thanked me and apologized. I took the credit.
Nice.
Am I a bad person?
No.
Not a bad person.
No, I love that.
But you're haunted by it.
This, whoever wrote this is haunted by this. I'll tell you one other question I have. Why'd you tell us she was Polish?
Yeah.
Right. What is it about her Polishness?
Yeah.
There's something about her being a Polak that kind of is like, you know, and they love to clean.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? There's like a strange way to, why'd you include that? You wouldn't have included right. it if she were French or Scottish. You included it because she was Polish.
Yeah. I'm, now, I'm right? genuinely curious. Are we allowed to, is that a negative word?
Polish?
No, the other, yeah.
Polak?
Yeah,
No, I don't know. And I said it to feel it out.
Yeah.
Well, I will say I'm a quarter Polish.
Uh-huh.
And I really didn't like what just happened.
And I'm listening and I'm learning and I'm sorry. And I want you to know that I am open to the feedback.
Yeah.
And I want to do better.
Then you didn't do anything wrong.
And
you know what I mean?
And I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no.
You're learning, you're growing. We're all.
I only know that my mother would just always say, like, she would tell me that, like, jokes existed about Polacks changing the light bulb. But that's all I knew. I didn't know how to be affected by it, if that makes any sense.
I should say that I think I am technically allowed to make the jokes because I do come from some of the Jews that made this, that are part of this, are Polish Jews.
Wow.
So I actually
made, so you can,
made,
so you
made
can,
this
yeah.
whole
oh, right, right,
this
right.
machine.
I thought they came up with the roommate questions.
My roommate flushed a half of a plum she was eating on the toilet. It got stuck.
Wait. Flushed a half of a plum on the toilet?
She was eating on the toilet.
Oh, she
what she was eating was a plum. Once it was half a plum, it got stuck in the pipes and fucked up plumbing for the entire building. What's the biggest thing you think it's okay to flush down the toilet?
Oh.
The biggest thing that isn't pee-pee or poo-poo.
Yeah.
That's a well, good question.
Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I've had some poops where I'm like, I'm taking this outside.
No, for sure. For
I'm
sure.
Like, I just
no,
can't go
wait,
well,
what do you mean?
That's
what?
Just so big. It's like.
But where are you?
I put it.
Hey, John, give me 1 second.
What's up?
Where do you go outside?
Just because it's confidential between us. I mean, I just kind of like, I just find some dirt. I scooch some dirt around and I put it there. I just pop it right down.
Okay, copy. Yeah. All right. Can I just say about the toilet question? Because this is something my gears are really turning here. I think if it's smushy, it can be very large.
I
think when you get to like things that are hard and plastic or old style wood, like that stuff shouldn't go in a toilet.
Yeah,
but I
really
think it
could
be big if
like
it could be squished.
Like a tomato? Like something without a pit?
We're saying that's a good
thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
No,
the problem with
the
plum is the pit. You can't flush a plum.
Yes.
It's a stone fruit.
Yeah.
It's a stone fruit.
No also, stone fruits in the toilet.
No yeah. stone fruits in the toilet. Also, who's eating on the toilet? Nobody's that busy. Everyone says they're busy, but they all have 6 hours of screen time. So what?
Right.
Which is it?
Yeah.
Which is it? Make your choice.
People have been fake for so long. And it's
people are liars and posers. And it's just like, I would love to come up with an app that changes that. I don't know. It's just something.
That is a cool idea.
I don't know. Thanks, man. Yeah. Maybe all three of us can work on it after the show. I don't know.
Yeah, like maybe like get some burgers or something to hang out. And if we get to the app, we get to the app, but we just hang out and see if something comes to it. Maybe we're hanging out, having a good time talking. We forget the app, but only because we're having such a good time. But we'll get to the app the next time we hang out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we get to
totally,
the app the next time.
It's like
time.
A brainstorm. Yeah, it's cool.
And you can go poop on the outside or.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's a really big one, yeah, I'll take it outside.
Can I tell you
yeah.
what's on my mind about the poop? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
It is. I was trying to think of a name for what happens if when a poop is so big that it crests the water when you've like laid down.
Oh yeah.
A poops, and I'm trying to. It's like something like Darwin's poop because it's crawling out of the ocean. You know, it's beginning to explore land.
It's evolving.
It's like it's evolving. It's like what's happening out here? You know what I mean? Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that. Yeah.
You know?
Did you ever know the movie Men in Black?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Do you remember
yeah.
the character Edgar who wants the sugar water?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You,
he does a great. He does a great.
Yeah,
Edgar.
I played by, of course, Vincent D'Onofrio.
A lot of people do. Come on, you want to get the Edgar impression?
Do you guys know that?
Do
you remember that part?
Yeah, we want to see Edgar.
Sugar water. I need sugar water.
Kind of like
so
that.
So good.
Thank you. I don't know.
So good. Now, that's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, yeah. And that apparently, the director, I'm blanking on his name.
Barry Sonnenfeld. Barry Sonnenfeld.
He did not like the performance.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. That Vincent D'Onofrio, who is...
Well, I'm going to say the most iconic performance in that movie. Because nobody else is impersonating any other performance in that movie.
The only other...
So I mean, they're great. I mean, they're great, but like unique...
You got to shout out the little alien guy who's is on Orion's belt. But.
Let's go.
It is so funny to imagine Vincent D'Onofrio sees this character, and he's like, okay, it is an alien bug inside of the corpse of a farmer that looks like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am playing the alien inside the corpse of Vincent D'Onofrio. I've got it. And then he does it, and Barry Sonnenfeld's like, that's wrong. He's like, how do you know?
Yeah.
Right. But he fought for it, or he got it in there. It is really one of the best performances
of our time.
On screen ever.
Yeah, it's so gross. You see why Barry Sonnenfeld would be like, what are you doing?
I'm sorry, man. Disgusting. You're pulling focus. This movie isn't about you.
It's about the men in black.
It's in the title, dude.
Last question. What's the jerk-off etiquette when you share a dorm room?
Thank you for asking that.
As much as you can, as loud as you can.
Yes. Yes. Because we read the studies about how you can actually improve your brain strength by masturbating.
Uh-huh. And you were saying that's how you got those perfect scores.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we didn't study. We actually just masturbated and then we aced our tests.
When we were in school, they were always like, you should put a sock on the door handle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was for masturbation, though.
That was when you had a person in the room when you're having sex in the room.
Yeah. If you're with somebody and you're hooking up, it's a proud thing. Not like, hey, just so you know, jerking off. There's my sock. But I do like that move.
Yeah, but you're allowed to do it for that.
You're definitely allowed to. Hey, everybody, I'll be in here jerking off. The door locks. I don't need to do this, but just so everybody knows.
Yeah. I guess it's a stupid idea.
The podcast is What's Our Podcast?
Yes.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. We can all agree that housing is expensive. Rent and mortgage, doesn't matter which one you're paying. It stinks every month. But Built can make it feel a little better. Let's explain. Built started out rewarding members on their rent. Now, as of 2026, Built members can also earn points on mortgage payments wherever they live. Every housing payment earns you points you can use towards flights with top travel partners like United and Hyatt, Lyft rides, Amazon.com, and so much more. Personally, I'd use my points for a fitness class, or you can get a gift card at a bunch of brands. You can use it at restaurants. But here's what I think is the most underrated part. Built members also get access to neighborhood concierge. It can make restaurant reservations, book fitness classes, and find new local spots, all while being rewarded at more than 45,000 merchant partners. It's like having a personal assistant baked into where you live. It's simple. Being a renter and now owning a home is better with Built. Join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/love it. That's joinbuilt.com/love it. Make sure to use our URL so they know we sent you. And we're back. It's time for a game we call the Lorne Identity. Kyle and Beck, I'm going to give you a name. You'll tell us if you think they'd be a good SNL host. And because we have to book, so many people for this show, I'm going to use fictional characters because I don't want to actually accidentally offend a real famous person.
Yeah.
If I offended a famous person, I'm going to do it intentionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They'll know it was me.
That's important,
They'll know, and that I meant it.
To go viral.
To go fucking viral. What is mm-hmm. That is what all of this is about.
It is,
it's
that
about
is
true. Hitting Absolutely. That algorithm right in its sexual...
It feels so good when you hit it right there.
All right, here we go. First up,
that was gross.
With this...
That was gross.
That was really good.
That was really gross, no. And I know that, okay?
Stop it, no. No. No.
No. No.
Clippy. The Microsoft paperclip. Would this be a good SNL host?
Gut reaction was yes.
Interesting.
But, I think I think he's going to be put in a box. He's not going to be able to play a lot of different characters. You know what I mean? He's just going to be clippy and everything, and it's going to get really old. Really.
Well, maybe his agent is like, this is an opportunity for you to show people that you're not just fucking helping. You're not so helpful.
Sure.
Maybe, but what if Clippy plays a character where he doesn't help?
Yeah, that would be cool. that would be worth it. I think his monologue would be great.
I see him being too methodical, too by the numbers. Like, I bet he'd be great at would be great at reading the cards, being in the right place. But I don't imagine chaos in that way that, like, oh, did you see what Clippy said?
Yeah.
Right.
And I can see Clippy being like, wait, so what am I doing in this scene?
Right.
This doesn't make sense. And you're like, you're overthinking it. Yeah.
Alf.
Yes. Great host.
Did Alf ever do it? It seems actually crazy that Alf didn't host SNL. Yeah.
It is. It is crazy.
I think this is just a really good pitch for a host. I feel like he's so charismatic. He's so fun. I would love to. I would genuinely like to see Alf host the show.
I mean, now I think it would be huge. If
people
Alf hosted.
Freak. Well, so there's a problem though, because my understanding is that the creator of Alf is deeply
Paul Fusco.
Is very precious about Alf, and it is important that people do not see Alf as a puppet that is being performed as Alf, but rather Alf is an alien who arrives on set to do the role.
Yeah.
And so whenever Alf appears, it has to be, like, you never see, Alf never is, like, walked in. Alf has to be Alf at all times. You never see Alf the puppet loose.
Wow.
Right.
And so if Alf was to host SNL, it would be very logistically challenging.
Yes.
Because none of the cast or crew could see Alf as a puppet.
So, but could he would have to be a puppet. He couldn't be somebody in a suit, obviously.
Where are you in your post SNL? How much of a fuck do you give about talking shit about people on SNL? Are we doing talking shit about SNL, or are we still not doing talking shit about people on SNL? Like saying the host that you thought was like the biggest fucking dud.
We've hinted towards a host that I feel like during our time was, I think universally, not enjoyed.
I would be nervous. Treated people. Did anybody treat you badly?
Did anybody treat me badly?
Yeah, or the royal you.
You know who I'm talking about.
I think so.
Nice.
Yeah, but there's another one that's. Now I get nervous. I don't want to. Yeah. I have said
but
publicly.
Well, we'll just say these people work in entertainment.
Yeah.
What's funny is there will be a point in your life, and it will be you. And you will stop feeling this, and you will just talk
yes.
about it. But you're,
yeah.
but and but when will that be, and why? What will have changed? That's interesting.
You know what
about.
I think will have. I still want to get money.
Right, it's money,
and
yeah.
that
of
is
course.
The thing that it's like I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to like cut myself off in some way or another. Like I still want to get paid, and I feel like if I say this name out loud, which damn people will be excited to hear it. You know, I could get in trouble in some way or another.
Next up, The Thing from John Carpenter's The Thing.
Mm. No, look at that guy. Look at that thing.
Look at that thing.
I mean, I feel like I see one iconic bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is it?
Just doing his thing.
He's like doing his thing. People are like, what is going on? He's like, I'm doing my thing.
Yeah, that's
not bad.
That's
pretty good.
That's
a good
monologue.
Pitch on Monday. Yeah. You're like The Thing, and people are like, what is your deal? He's like, I'm just doing my thing. And they get a laugh.
So, okay, we actually do like him as well.
Yeah, we like The Thing.
Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Great. Because she's got pipes.
Oh yeah, we're gonna sing a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be
funny. Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be great. She'd be great.
She's funny.
She's a barista. Funny.
Yes.
Yes.
That Ursula the Mermaid,
oh my
the
witch,
a barista,
yeah.
I'm laughing.
The that tentacles are going crazy. They've got coffees and stuff.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're you making the foam, and yeah. It's
and,
gonna be amazing.
And Trump comes in.
Yeah.
No.
It turns out they're brother and sister, and it's like, what's going on?
Yeah. That's funny shit.
That does look like Trump's sister.
And then it's like, the thing comes back
and
a week
comes
later.
Back, he's like, don't forget about me. And yeah. It's like, he's their cousin or something.
The Crypt Keeper.
Oh, incredible.
Incredible.
He's an entertainer.
He's already a host.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he would have a great monologue.
And I feel like just hearing his old Hollywood stories.
Yeah. And he would, because he doesn't give a shit. He would gossip about everybody.
Right.
His monologue would be like, this fucking person's a bitch. And he'd be like, you know, be like, this person, you know, he'd like talking about people's private stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know.
The Inside SoCal guys, how would they do?
Okay, yeah, there's a bit that we did. Yeah, these are two guys from Southern California. Who, yeah. So everybody, how's everybody doing? My name's Todd. Look, I don't know what the fuck it is. I think bad.
I think they'd be bad. Yeah, I think they would be bad.
I don't really actually think their camera presence is awful.
They barely have enough energy to fill a camera lens. You know, they're barely filling that.
But maybe live stage. Just an update segment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think on update they would be great. Why?
They crush.
Why did we never try that on update?
I think I felt personally precious about like just this sort of what this aesthetic, this, you know, what this was, and like that sort of thing.
It is Kyle's creation.
Yeah, that sort of fucked me up at my time at SNL. I was just like,
just fucking do it. Don't be so precious. Yeah. But it's too late now.
I know, but it's like I'm doing podcasts. It's cool.
Yeah. No, it's all good, dude.
I know it's all good.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Yeah.
And finally, we end the show with a segment where we find out what the producers of Love It or Leave It wish I hadn't said or done in a segment we call Second Thoughts. Kyle and Beck, I would love to know your second thoughts as well. One second thought. I'm sorry for saying Lindsey Graham coming. There are apparently children here. I didn't know that. Though I think still a worthy joke, and I'm glad it was in the show, but it was still hard to say out loud, especially the second time just now.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
I knew too.
The joke I made about MLK and the bullet works better because it's kind of a visual joke, because in the card it's spelled like bullet rye, right? And you all understood that, but you have to think of it. And I wish that there was some way for you to visually see, it's a written joke. And I think sometimes in a monologue, a written joke is maybe not the best. I want you to know, Kyle, that I know the difference between real Kyle and awkward Kyle.
That's nice. He feels seen.
One down.
I should not have said Pollock.
I feel like you have to forgive yourself for that.
Thank
you. But you guys are.
Yeah, I'm Polish.
I'm not Polish. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys can.
We think we can.
You guys can talk about it. The light bulb stuff. And...
How many? You know. How many Pollocks it take to figure out what words you're allowed to say? That's my question.
Me too. I'm not saying whatever.
Went too deep on the logistics of ALF.
Yeah, that's right. I should take.
My guest. I led you there. You were joining me on the journey of thinking about it, and I, instead of just enjoying the character of ALF. Which is what ALF is all about.
Right.
And
right.
You brought us back to the heart of it, which is cats. Kyle, do you have any regrets about this evening?
Yeah. I feel like, you know, on our podcast, like, yeah, I feel like sometimes we have a tendency to go blue, which, like, you know, you don't want to go there, but it's also fun. It makes us laugh. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's always something I'll be conscious of. Sometimes I get self-conscious of just being too weird or too silly or something like that, where it's like, no, this is like a serious conversation, and that's something I'll be thinking about.
Do people sometimes think you're joking when you're not joking? Sincere question. Do people think when you are having a sincere, earnest expression of something that you are doing a bit about the person who would express that sincere emotion? Does that happen in your life?
Yeah, it's been happening for since I've known you.
And then he will joke around and people won't understand that he's joking.
I think has
happened in this show with this audience, because maybe they weren't familiar with the inner workings of Kyle's brain. But then
you see you resonate with like a few places at the frequency. You know what I mean? Whatever your frequency is, you'll see it resonate. Even today, I was thinking, I was almost going to bring it up, and now I am, which is, whatever that thing is that you do that is weird, and you're a weird person in a great way, you watch it vibrate across, and then you see it like kind of hit someone, and like they pop with like laughing because of like they're fully in, which is cool, and not everybody gets that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, not a bit. I am getting hard right now.
Beck, do you have any regrets?
You know, I don't know, Kyle, is there anything I should regret, do you think? I can't think of anything.
No, I actually, I feel really good, you know, because like, I was nervous, and we drove together, and like, we hung out there behind the what do you call this, a stage?
Yeah, you can call it a stage, for sure. 100%.
And it's, like, it's an elevated platform. You never know what's going to happen, and like, I think we did what we came to do. That's how I feel.
I feel great. I feel great. I thought you did an amazing job. You're so funny. You make me laugh so much.
The fusking thing. That was...
Fusking around. Yeah, I don't know.
That so is fun. That actually will go viral.
Please. That'd be amazing.
One final regret. Darwin's poop.
No, I want to know more about that.
I was just thinking about...
You made it up or it exists?
I made it up from this moment of thinking about what is it called when a poop goes from the ocean to the land.
That's viral stuff. But that's a meme. It's a meme. You take a photo of the poop that is cresting or is like on the ball.
Yes.
Darwin's poop, like on top, that feeling when you're Darwin's poop or something.
Yes, and you put the little picture of the illustration of the first fish crawling on the beach next to it. And you say, love is possible.
Yeah,
you know,
this is right on brand for you, and this is
really
be great.
Good.
Yeah.
Really good. Wow, what a great place to end the show. Everybody, check out Kyle and Beck's pod wherever you get your podcasts, presumably
everywhere
on all the platforms. And you guys just launched a Patreon for the real freaks,
for our rockos.
Patreon.com/whatsourpodcast.
What is our podcast? What's our podcast? No, is just what's our podcast?
Yeah, we do the podcast fully nude.
Fully nude, but it's audio only.
Yes, yes.
But that's for your pleasure, your comfort, your ease.
Yeah.
That's our show. Thanks so much to Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney. To Interwoven Studios, there are 178 days until the midterms. We'll be back next week. Melissa Etheridge. We'll be back next week with Melissa Etheridge, Bosco, and more. Have a great weekend.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.